Blog Talk Radio.
The whole thing, I think, is sick.
Good evening, wrestling fans, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am Sadistic Sean David, along with my co-host,
the Dean of Wrestling Referee Steve Kane.
Chaotic Katie has the night off. We would like to welcome everyone to a very special edition of the Rampage Rants. Steve Kane has entitled this episode, Exposing the Yarders. I am going to call this episode, Fuck You Revolution Wrestling. So I'm going to go ahead and bring our other caller with us. Crime Fighter, just go ahead and chime in where you want to. I mean, I know you don't know the full story like we got earlier today, but it was brought to my attention. I was looking at a Facebook page earlier today, and I ran across NSPW's Facebook page. I don't know if I was seeing what they had going on or not, but I came across their Facebook page, and the three videos that I saw absolutely floored me. In the three videos, there are two tag teams from Revolution Wrestling and one singles competitor making promo videos that obviously weren't that good because they have no idea how to fucking cut a promo to save their life, behind a green screen, that they're coming to SNPW. Okay? So I have contacted several of my sources and come to find out these guys, this is the first message that I want to read, and I want to make sure that I read it right. This is I'm not going to name my source because he wishes to remain anonymous, but this source is living in that area. This is what I was told by this source. Let's see here. Revolution Wrestling told my source that someone from Dreamwave Wrestling was training them, but it was a secret and they couldn't reveal who it was. Well, I have some other sources that have publicly informed me that the man training the group of Revolution Wrestling Backyarders is none other than the current Dreamwave Wrestling heavyweight champion, Christian Rhodes. And I have pictures of messages that were sent to Mr. Rhodes and his responses back about him training this group of individuals. So, Steve, I've filled in that far. I'm going to let you take it over from there while I light my cigarette because my blood's starting to boil already.
Well, and here's the thing. For those who are not aware of this group is actually a group of untrained backyarders. They are set up as supposedly an arm of what is called Safe Haven Ministries, which is led by a man named Jim Spragan. Now, the thing is this. There's no knowledge anywhere that I am aware of Mr. Spragan's ordination in any known Christian denomination. So we don't actually know that this man in reality is in fact a licensed minister. But he is sitting there and he is posing as such and posing this wrestling group as an arm of the ministry.
That is correct.
Yes. Now we have had Sean and I, and I, you know, and I don't know if Crime Fighters had any actual personal contact with these guys at any time or not. But in Sean's and my experiences with them, they have been the exact opposite of what their boss slash owner claims to represent. They have
Correct.
Been rude. They have been crude. They have been obscene. And they have also made physical threats.
Correct. Now,
so,
we'll refresh everyone. This is an organization that I believe it was in 2013 or 2014. They brought in Maria Kanellis, who is now with TNA. Last year, 2014, they brought in Paul London. So
right,
they are less 2015.
Oh yeah, yeah. 2014 or 2015, they had Paul London. Now, this is where I have a problem, guys. Okay, I had a problem with them from the very beginning, and here's why I had a problem with them from the very beginning. And Steve Kane, I showed pictures to him earlier. Steve Kane can also attest to this. The group of individuals in Revolution Wrestling have been attending Powerhouse Wrestling shows since 2008. They have always had the dream to become a wrestler. They never went out to Tim Lyle and asked him to train them. They didn't. If they did, they didn't want to go through Tim's training regimen, which I promised you is very extensive and intensive, and he wouldn't take any bullshit. The other thing is, they probably didn't train with Tim Lyle because Tim Lyle told them, if you train with me, you will not run any more shows. Well, Christian Rose is now training them, and it is my belief that this is being kept a secret from Dreamwave Wrestling. I think if Dreamwave Wrestling knew this, they would have a fucking field day with it, because at the end of the day, this is cutting money out of Dreamwave's pockets, who still does some training every now and again.
Right. And it also makes them look bad because it's doubtful that, in fact, Rose is even charging them for training.
Well, I'm sure he's charging them for training, Steve, because, you know, he's probably making a quick buck off of them. That's
He's not making the kind of money that say a Jimmy Blaze or back in my day a Sam DeCero would charge you.
Right. And the thing about it is this: some of these guys probably went to Tim. Tim either said, "You're going to drop the backyard bullshit and I won't train you," or Tim was going to charge him too much. So their bright idea was, "We'll hit up Christian Rose on Facebook. We'll have Rose come over to our building here over in Streeter and train us every Wednesday night in Streeter," which is what's being done.
Yep.
Christian Rose is training them in their building every Wednesday night in Streeter. Okay? The problem that I have with this is these motherfuckers never paid an ounce of dues at all.
Nope.
They were running shows before
they got Rose involved in this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the thing about it is this: they've never paid any dues. They got somebody to buy them a ring. Some of them afforded their own gear, and now they want to call themselves wrestlers. This is why I have a problem. I busted my ass for almost 3 years before I was ever let in a ring. Better part of 2 years anyway, before I ever stepped foot in that ring to train.
Yep.
And now These guys.
And I trained over a year before I ever got to participate in a show at all.
Now these guys are getting trained by Christian Rose, and they're using this as a credential, even though their training's not done. Let's face it, their training's not done. They probably just started maybe about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. But now they're going to SNPW. They've contacted another organization down in Peoria. They've contacted several other organizations and are using Christian Rose as a credential to get them booked. And the promoters
yep.
don't realize how green these guys are.
Yep.
Well, they're not going online and watching videos of their past matches.
Well, that's just
yeah.
it, too. You got.
Oh, Sam, my God.
You got the owner of SNPW, Sam Crosby, or Cosby. Crosby or Cosby, one of the two.
Cosby.
Oh, I messaged him directly about all of this. I did not get one response, okay? Now, I did get a response, and this is going to be a shoot, and I hope he's listening or I hope he'll go back and hear the replay. Kid Riot, you don't have a problem with fucking yarders coming into your business and, you know, not paying a lick of fucking dues and getting trained by Christian Rose and never finishing their training and going and getting booked. Well, then maybe you weren't trained properly either. Because I was
well,
trained
you realize this. He started 3CW all those years ago. I mean,
the thing about it is this.
You would have had a field day with them, too. So
the way that I was brought up training, you paid dues. You came in, you set the ring up, you set the chairs up, you were there at the end of the night, you loaded the ring in the trailer. If you were a local guy, you went with the ring back to wherever the ring was being stored and unloaded the ring from that trailer before you ever went home.
Yep.
These guys have no experience with that. They're rude. They're cocky. And they're training under Christian Rose, who is not known for being the least arrogant guy in the wrestling world, especially in Illinois. So you've got an arrogant guy training guys that are already arrogant. What is this going to make? This is going to make yarders that are so arrogant that, you know, you could put them in the ring with Bob Orton and they tell Bob Orton that he was a fucking jobber.
Yep. Exactly.
I mean, this people have been on my ass all day about this, about, well, you don't have any right. Somebody gave you a chance. Why can't they be given a chance? I'm not saying that they can't be given a chance, but they shouldn't be given a fucking spoon-fed chance like this. This is being fucking babied.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to fucking do this, they could have fucking hit Tim Lyle up 8 years ago when he was still running there and began to fucking train then, and now they would actually be real wrestlers.
Yep. Exactly. You know,
I mean, I'm gonna say this right now, Chris.
Go somewhere else. I mean,
go ahead.
Tim Lyle wasn't the only ball game in town. I mean, Tim Lyle, to be quite honest, Tim Lyle's training may not be for everyone. I mean, everybody trains different. Some
right.
people can't go at the pace that he does, so they, but may do better under a different trainer's style of training. I mean, PWA does things a particular way. I mean,
right.
I mean, not at the pace that Tim Lyle does, but I consider their training pretty good, considering Guy Smith had 15 years as a wrestler and got the Harley Race Academy pedigree.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not an easy thing to do.
That's what he's doing.
Let's see here. What did I want to say? Christian Rose, you might as well be taking bookings with Revolution Wrestling and start working all their shows on a regular basis, because even with you training them, you're tarnishing your name. So you might as well work those shows too, because your name's already tarnished, dude. You're training
yep.
a bunch of yarders, and that's, at the end of the day, that's what it is. You are training a bunch of people who, yes, they want to get out of the backyard, and I'll give them some credit for that. but they're going about it the completely wrong way. And if you're training them and you were stupid enough to let them continue running shows, you shouldn't be training them to begin with, because they don't deserve to be trained if they're going to continue to train with you and then continue to run shows when they're not fully trained.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, I am a big fan of Christian Rose's work. I always have been. But this is nothing personal either. This is not, you know, me coming at Christian Rose because of this reason, or that reason. I am coming against Christian Rose because this has got to be the single-handedly most stupid thing I've seen in the wrestling business in my existence of being in the wrestling business. I mean, he's going to screw
things
up. Oh,
yes, there's a conflict of interest here, maybe.
Go ahead.
I just said
it. Go ahead.
There may be there's a conflict of interest with Rose being the champion and training these guys.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I mean, that's the biggest thing. You've got Dreamwave Wrestling, who this year has brought in Ric Flair. They have RVD next weekend. And we don't know who they have for March yet. In April, they have Bret Hart. So you're going to let your top guy, that's your champion, that's carrying your company, go train a bunch of yarders. Like I said, my belief is that Jay Rupsel and the powers that be at Dreamwave Wrestling have no idea about this, because if they did, I don't believe they'd be letting him do it. Because Prince Ali was, I don't know if he still is, Prince Ali was the head trainer at Dreamwave. And
no,
if he's
not training. He's not training anybody in Dreamwave. I don't think he's doing training right now. I don't think he's done it for quite a long time, except apart from that one class that only graduated two.
Right. I don't know if Dreamwave
I don't think he's done anything since then.
I don't know if Dreamwave still trains or not. I have heard they do. I have heard
they don't. No, they don't.
I don't think they do it on the grand scale of things that they used to, but I believe they still do. If you're one of their students, I believe you're still required to come to the event early and set up and train before the show. But I don't think they're doing training in the essence that, you know, you pay me $1,500 and we're going to train you, and we're going to train you to wrestle. But that's not to say.
Anyway, they're probably going to the Quad Cities or Chicago, but not LaSalle.
Right.
Yeah.
Or maybe one of Tracy's mother's clinics in Peoria.
Right. You know, so if, and here's the other thing, okay? Big Daddy has a benefit slated for May. I got a message from Kid Riot saying the Peoria crew was going to not come to this event over this whole Christian Rose thing. If that's the way you guys feel down in Peoria, y'all can stay home anyway, because I promise you I can find people that'll take your spot. That's easy. I have people all day that would be willing to fill your spots. If this is the way you guys want to be about it, that's fine. But I'm not going to back down from what I believe in, and this is what I believe in. Wrestling is my passion. When you fuck with my passion, I get angry. I get very angry. You know, people think that I did this podcast tonight because I'm angry and I'm bitter and I just hate Revolution Wrestling and I'm jealous of them. I'm not jealous of them. Okay, yeah, they might be wrestling now to where I'm not, but I can at least go back and say that my career has had some kind of positive impact and that I had legitimate training. I wasn't trained in a backyard and didn't spend all my career in a fucking backyard.
Exactly.
And as far as the guys in Peoria go, if you really want to be that anal about it, there's a good majority of you that are in Peoria that are going to spend the rest of your careers down there. So keep that in mind, because I don't back down from the truth. I don't cut any corners. Anybody that has worked for me before or has known me for quite a few number of years knows that I don't take any bullshit. I didn't take bullshit when I was 18 when I was running. I'm 25 now, and I still won't take any bullshit.
Yep.
The problem is this business has not been protected.
Yep.
Now we're not protecting it again, and we're going to let these yarders come in. Okay?
Bingo.
If these yarders wanted to pay to get, if these yarders wanted to pay to get trained 8 years ago, that would have been fine and well, but they didn't.
Yep,
they
exactly.
They backyard.
But they didn't do that either.
Oh, they've been backyarding.
Not to allow somewhere else, but they didn't go somewhere else.
Right. I mean, they've been backyarding since 2008. It's ridiculous. Grown men.
There's still a contingent of people that think you can still make it into the business being self-taught. And there's examples of past stars that made it that way. But because there's so many people in the business now, they got to weed them out somehow.
Well,
yep.
And that's it. I mean, you got people that never belonged in this business to begin with that are in it.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm going to get some heat from what I'm about to say, but there are some people in Peoria that were not trained by stars that are never going to be stars because of who they were trained by. And they have the arrogance to think that they're going to go somewhere. I promise you, if your trainer never went anywhere, you're not going anywhere. Les Thatcher will tell you that. Cue Ball Carmichael will tell you that. If your trainer has not gone anywhere, you're not going anywhere. You will spend the rest of your life on the independents. Now, there are some guys that are happy with that. But, you know, at the same time, you've also got these Revolution Wrestling kids that are looking at WWE and Ring of Honor and the independents and, oh, I can do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not realizing how long it takes. Okay? I didn't wrestle my first match. I started training when I was 12. I didn't wrestle my first match professionally until I was 16. Because I wasn't ready. Because, I had 4 years of legitimate training.
You have to be like a minimum age to get in the ring anyway.
Yeah. Back then,
You did and you didn't back then. Back then you could get away with it if you knew the right people to write up the right documents and your
true.
Sign off on it. But 16 is when I debuted, okay? If I would have debuted any earlier than that, I wouldn't have been ready. The problem with these kids is they've been self-taught and they think they know all their shit, okay? That's a problem. Because these guys don't know their head from the fucking hole in the wall. I guarantee you, if I were to lock up with some of these guys and start calling basic spots, these wrist lock, drop down, clothesline, drop down again, suplex, they would be lost by the time we got to the fucking second drop down. They would have no clue what I was talking about.
Yeah. You know, or lock up, headlock, takeover. Head scissors, escape, take it again. Okay? Now, I understand what that means. They wouldn't have a stinking clue.
And this is the other thing. This is the other reason why I have a problem with these guys going and working legitimate promotions. I don't know that they know how to call their spots. So you're going to put them in the ring with somebody that calls spots, and they don't call their spots, this is going to be a fucking disaster waiting to happen.
Somebody's going to get seriously injured. And I mean seriously injured.
What's probably going to happen is they're not going to put them against these guys going down. They're going to work their posse. They're not going to work somebody from SMPW. They're going to work...
That's what I've suspected because, like I said, they've got two tag team books, so they'll probably throw those two tag teams in a match, and that'll sync up the card. And then you got this Chris Kennedy guy. He'll sync up the card. But I messaged Joseph Schwartz, who is going to be at the next NSPW show. I messaged Too Tough Tony. I messaged Man Pondo. I messaged all three of them, and I said, look, this is a situation, one of y'all need to school these motherfuckers, because I promise you, if Pondo were to get his hands on one of these fucking kids, they wouldn't come back.
Huh. They'd be going one place, and that's the hospital. Because Pondo won't take it. Pondo will not take it. He will shoot on them like nobody's business.
I mean,
they don't want that.
So you've got
They're not going to put him in a match against Madman Pondo.
You'd be amazed if a lesson has to be taught. Oh.
Runs down and interrupts the match. That's different, but they're not going to book him in a match. They're not going to book any of these guys against Madman Pondo.
Not knowingly. I mean, I could see Pondo, you know, getting booked at one of the upcoming SNPW shows and seeing these guys and pulling Sam aside and going, I'm working him tonight, and there ain't a damn thing you can do about it. And the kid ain't going to find out till the fucking lineup is written, and then he's going to shit his pants.
Yep.
But, I mean, I could see that happening. But the SNPW next card is next Saturday, so we already know they've got two of the Revolution Wrestling tag teams booked, which will probably face each other, so that match is going to sync up the whole fucking card. So,
yeah.
And they don't have really, SNPW at one point had some really talented people on their roster. I looked at their poster for this coming week, and there really isn't much there. You got Too Tough Tony and Joseph Schwartz. I like both of them. But other than that, I didn't really see anything there that looks too promising. I mean, I see a lot of what appear to be yarders or guys that just don't have their shit together. I know their champion right now is Apollo Green or some shit like that. And he don't look like he's got his shit together. You know,
I've never been to an SNPW show, but reading their lineups, it varies greatly.
Talent. I looked at one of their cards and I was like, I'd make the drive to this. I looked at the one for this next Saturday. I wouldn't make the drive for that if you paid me to. Even if you paid me to make the drive, I still wouldn't make that trip. That card is going to suck. Besides Joseph Schwartz and Too Tough Tony.
Yep.
It's going to suck because the rest of the guys on there, you got Coach Matt Burns, who I've seen very few videos of and was not impressed with. You've got a couple other guys that are going to be booked down there. The look isn't there, okay? And we talk about this all the time. You can book 20$20 guys all day long, or you can book 20 quality guys that are going to cost you a little bit more money, but they're going to make that show that much better. So.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying that all of that Peoria crew that I said before is going to be stuck in Peoria, but there are going to be some that are going to be stuck there the rest of their careers, and it's just the way things are going to be because they have to realize what's wrong with the business in order to help improve it, and if they don't see it, they can't change it.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that I don't like all the guys down in Peoria. There's a handful of guys down there that I like. But when I got guys gunning at me over something as senile as this, as the whole Christian Rose training yarders thing, then there's an issue because I didn't do anything wrong. I just outed the fact that the man's training yarders and has no business training them. And if he's still the Dreamwave champion and Dreamwave doesn't know that he's training these guys, he doesn't deserve to be the Dreamwave champion.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, if this were my promotion and I found out he were training guys, not only would the title be taken off of him faster than his head could spin, he would never be booked again.
Yep.
I don't get why people don't have a problem with this. Well, it's
yeah,
just giving somebody a chance.
Not while they're running shows.
I mean, these
at the same
we
time.
Told these, we told
it might
these
be more
guys,
acceptable if they shut down and not run shows for several months while they do this training.
Exactly.
When they've gotten to a level where they can't handle themselves, maybe. But, and is it just five of them or the entire roster?
It's the entire roster he is training. It's not just the five. He is training their entire roster.
Yep.
Is it just him or is there anybody else involved?
As far as I know, it's just him, but I am going to say this, and I'll get heat for this one, too. It wouldn't surprise me if Matt Cage were not tagging along. Because Matt and Rose do live together, and, you know, they're both from LaSalle. That's a quick 30-minute drive over to Streeter every Wednesday night, and it's getting them some ring time in.
I thought they were in the quad.
No, they're in LaSalle now. They're both living
again.
In LaSalle. Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, you know, I like I said, I don't know that Matt Cage is doing it, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was, knowing the circumstances that him and Rose are roommates. So, you know, again, why?
So many months ago, you were expressing concerns about Tim Lyle going over the Revolution to train them.
Right. And I didn't want him training them either. I mean, I didn't mind if these guys were to go to him and say, hey, we're gonna quit and we're going to train. But I knew that they weren't going to go to Tim and say, we're going to quit running and we want to train with you. It was going to be, we're going to train with you, but we're going to still run shows and try to fuck you over at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, why Dreamwave isn't made I'm hoping this show will help make Dreamwave aware of this. I know Jay Retzel could hate my fucking guts and would piss on me if I were as on fire, and that's okay with me. But I don't believe that Jay and the powers that be at Dreamwave were made aware of the situation that their heavyweight champion is going over and training a bunch of yarders. Unless, and here's the other speculation that I have, folks, unless he has done this with Jay Rupsel's approval to get these kids to come to Dreamwave. That's the only other thing I could think of, and that would be downright stupid.
Yep.
But then again, it's Rupsel, so you never know. I like Jay, but he's been known for doing some stupid shit in the past, and I could not put this beneath him. You know, I can't say that I couldn't fathom him doing this to try to get in some more local talent. And, you know, because the other thing is, if these guys are getting trained by Christian Rose and Dreamwave does bring them over, now they're going to be pulling all their friends and family for the show. See where I'm going with this, Steve?
Yep.
I'll be stunned if they're, like, given a pre-show match.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't get it, guys. I really don't get it. We are going to take our first and only song break. It's going to be about 2 minutes, 50 seconds. When we come back, we're going to wrap this thing up.
All right.
Because I need to take a quick minute and go empty my Jim Cornette-sized bladder.
Watch, you're, like, real excited.
Yeah, you know, that too. I'm so excited. I could do lots of things.
I just can't hide it. Yeah.
No.
I think we'll stay away from that one.
The music.
All right. We'll be back in 2:43, folks.
The girl, I wanna be a
a fair or festival organizer? If you're thinking of adding professional wrestling to your event, it takes more than just a $5,000 ring. It takes credible talent with years of training, skill, and experience. It takes quality production values. It takes credible promoters with knowledge of the independent scene, the resources to set up entertaining cards, and how to get fans in the door. Bring in just anyone without vetting their credentials, you could end up with an embarrassing disaster. The so-called talent may have no training, no ring gear, aren't family friendly, and some may even have a lengthy rap sheet. If you want live professional wrestling at your fair or festival, don't get burned. Check their credentials before you book. A public service announcement from the Nosebleed Seats. You can contact.
All right, folks, we're back. You know, I was talking a little bit with Steve Kagan over the break, and the thing about it is this. If these individuals were to be in any other state and doing this, they would get razzed. The reason that they're doing it in Illinois and not getting razzed as hard as they are is because, and I'm going to say this, and Steve, you know, this has been my personal opinion for quite a while. The wrestling business in Illinois is stale in most places. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that everybody's comfortable in their own skin. They don't worry about what other people are doing around them. They don't go out and try to stop things like this from happening. Okay?
Yep.
If the stuff that I did way before I first debuted pro.
I haven't got anybody else. Like I said, I've already talked to Tom today.
What was that?
I'm sorry, I should have muted that before I listened to it. Private message to me.
I know who that is.
Crap,
I talked to him earlier.
That?
Yeah, I know who that is, and I talked to him earlier too. And he don't know what to think of it either. Which I'm not going to name his name because it's neither here nor there. But you
just
know, he didn't really
heard what you heard or edit out or something. That was not meant on this podcast. My apologies, to the person who sent me that message. I screwed up.
You know, I talked to them earlier today, and they don't have a real take on it. You know, they don't see really any harm with it or why Dreamwave would have a problem with their main guy training a group of yarders. And, you know, this is the problem. This is the issue, guys, is Steve Kane and I can see this. I could take this to Cue Ball Carmichael. He would say this is a problem. We're going to bring this up again tomorrow night with Les Thatcher. Les will say that this is a problem. I could call Kenny Boland and say this is an issue. Okay? You're going to get a difference of opinions on this.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, a majority of people in the wrestling world that actually have a key understanding of how this business works and how it was back in the day and how it is today are going to know that this kind of thing is not acceptable. The problem is some of these new guys that have been brought into the business within the last 10 years don't give a shit. At the end of the day, money is money. And that's what it sounds like it is for Christian Rose. It's not about – it sounds like he wants to help these guys too, but at the same time, I guarantee you money has a big hand to do in it. Because he wouldn't be doing it for free. I promise you, Christian Rose would not waste his reputation and the Dreamwave Championship and his working relationship with Dreamwave to train these group of guys.
Yep.
But I don't know if Dreamwave knows about it or not. If they do, then they're stupider than what we all thought, too. Because if they know about this and are allowing it to continue, shame on them. Shame, 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 because I'm going to tell you right now, this is being sent to Tim Lyle, and Tim Lyle is going to have a fucking field day with this, And I can promise you that this will be used as ammunition for Tim Lyle to bury Dreamwave.
Yeah.
Hate to say it, but it will be. Because Dreamwave, maybe not Dreamwave this time around, but when Jay had his first company, RCW was the thorn in Powerhouse's side.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, you were there for most of that. You know, when you guys brought in Hawk and Animal, RCW went around and ripped down all the posters.
Yep.
Every single
exactly.
last one of them. So this is going to be Jay getting a bit of karma that he's been owed for a really long time if Tim Lyle does decide to use this as ammunition. I'm not promising that he will, but I think Tim's smart enough to see that this is good ammunition, and you know he could get some heat for this, but this is the right towards of right kind of ammunition to have. People don't think that it is. People that I know don't think that it is, but it is, because
mm-hmm.
you can say, well, our heavyweight champion isn't training a bunch of yarders.
Yep. Exactly.
I'm serious, guys. It's like I said, I was dead serious about what I said about Christian Rose going and working Revolution shows. He might as well be wrestling over there too, because his name's already now associated with it.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I think you opened the door for yourself on this one. So, you know what? You're going to have to live with the consequences. And it's not going to be pretty, because once the word gets out, and believe me, the word will get out, because we have connection. And we will spread the word.
Now, everybody also thinks we're doing this, Steve, because we want to ruin Christian Rose's career. That's not what this is about either. But if the guy's going to be stupid enough to train a whole fucking roster of guys that have never been trained a day in their life, have had one training camp with Paul London.
Yeah. Yeah. For maybe 2 hours.
You deserve what's coming to you, because anybody in their right mind that was brought up with legitimate training and, you know, knows that their career is going places would not give these fuckers the time of day.
Yep, exactly.
We're going to continue this thing going. We'll roll into the after party for maybe about 15, 20 minutes because I do want to keep this thing rolling. But the thing about it is also this, guys. If Dreamwave knows about it, what is their motive? Why are they allowing this to happen? That is my question. If they know about it, why are they allowing it to happen? What is in it for Dreamwave? Is this going to be Dreamwave's key to come back to Streeter and try to run Tim out of town? Because I promise you, RCW lost that battle once. And
yeah.
Yeah, Dave's got a lot more funding than he did.
A Dreamwave fan. To leave that venue that they're in now.
Yeah. But the Dreamwave fans will go over, a good majority of them, other than their really, really hard diehards that can't make the trip, will go over and see Powerhouse. So,
yep.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what the motive in that would be for Dreamwave to know about it and continue to let it happen. I don't see any motive there, really, because let's face it, Dreamwave hasn't gave two shits that Tim Lyle and Powerhouse have been back. Although we do know, and I was there for this. I don't know if Jay sent them or they went on their own accord, but Nate Knox was at the Powerhouse show that I was at and mm-hmm. tried to have the conversation with Lyle then. So I don't know. I don't know what the motive would be behind that. From a business end, and I'm saying this from a business end, I cannot see there being any gain in letting my heavyweight champion go and train a bunch of yarders. I don't see any gain in that at all. Especially when their shows are free of charge. Because all those people that attend those shows are not going to make the dream or the trip over to Dreamwave and start paying $15 for fucking tickets to see a show. I guarantee you that right now.
Yep.
Well, at that point, they're just doing it for experience and nothing else.
I mean,
yeah.
I can't wrap my head around this whole concept. My mind is about ready to explode with all of this because, you know, I'm being called an irrational person for bringing this up and bringing this on the radio. I'm not irrational. I'm very logical in this. This is all logic and common
right.
sense. Common sense mm-hmm. states that if you have been trained to be a professional wrestler, you never go back and associate with anyone that is considered a yarder. That is rule 101.
Yep, because this is the thing. And this is the thing. Anybody who wants training, they come to you. You do not go to them. I had to work my way through the doors to get in to Windy City Wrestling and learn my craft. For you to walk in, call somebody up, and say, hey, come on out. We'll give you a few bucks to, teach us so the big boys won't call us yarders anymore. And that, that's just crap. That's just lower than low.
It's a cop out. It's exactly what
it is.
I started going to shows with Tim Lyles when he ran the mall when I was like 8. Okay, I didn't know that they were running consistently, but I was always spewing powerhouse wrestling, powerhouse wrestling, powerhouse wrestling from like 8 to 10 because I knew they were still in the area, but I didn't know how consistent they were. But I was spewing
right.
that fucking product, okay?
Right.
Then at like age 11 or 12, RCW came along, and I started
mm-hmm.
doing chairs set up with them because I was 11 or 12. I can't fucking help with the ring, but I can help.
Right.
Put chairs up. So I was doing that. I spent a year, almost 2 years, with RCW before Wicked even decided that, Wicked had just started, and I started doing stuff with them. But it wasn't till like their third or fourth show till Wicked had pulled Gabe and me aside and said, we're going to train you. Because I was going to go do the training seminar over at RCW with CM Punk for $50. And Benito and Mel came to me with Gabe and said, we can do the training here for $400. I said, sold. I said, yeah, I might not have that CM Punk credential, but I'm going to get it all for one money instead of paying $50 every fucking month that they decide to do one and spending a fucking fortune in the long run to get all the training that I need.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not brought into that ring. The first time that I started training, all of my stuff was outside of the ring. We did lockups outside of the ring. We did running outside of the ring. Everything was outside of the ring. It wasn't until, Saturday before the show that he got me in there and started me having me do bump drills. And Eric Freedom got there, and Eric Freedom was actually the one that got me to bump correctly by using the rope because with my cerebral palsy, I had that fear going backwards. I was like, I'm going to hit my fucking head, and that's going to be it. So Eric Freedom worked with me and got me over the fear of bumping, and then I got it down and kept training on from there. But I didn't wrestle my first match as a pro until I was 16, and that was a battle royal, and then Jonas called me. Because him and Mark Jonas were running. And Jonas Brothers called me, and they said, we need you to come work for us. And I was only booked to manage. I wasn't booked for them originally to wrestle. I was booked to manage Harker Dirge. And I got there, and they had me manage Judas. And Mark didn't have an opponent, and they knew I had training, so they threw me in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was 4 fucking years from the time that I started training before I ever stepped foot in that ring in front of a crowd.
Yep.
And these guys are going to these guys are training with him. We don't even know how long they've been training. That's the shitty thing. We don't know how long he's been training them, but we do know that they're booked on the next NSNPW show January 30th. Now, either SNPW is hurting for fucking talent, or they don't want to pay some of these high-quality guys to fucking come in anymore. Because the Hooligans used to work down there. Pondo used to work down there. They used to have, I mean, when SNPW, you know, first caught my attention because the Hooligans started working there, they had some fucking hellacious cards. I was like, damn, they've got some talent. But you take what they had then and put it up against what they got now, and it don't hold the flame.
Yeah, right. Well, here's something. Our good friend Vacant Vale, who was with our former show that's unfortunately no longer on the network, Dangerous Minds of Wrestling, says this: it took me almost a year before I could step into a ring and do anything but tighten the turnbuckles. I was bumping on gym floors with a thin mat till I could go in the ring and train. So there you go. I mean, that's facts, folks. That is
facts.
Well,
the other thing is, they're not in a fucking – Jim Spraggan bought a fucking ring. Okay?
Right.
These guys, other than doing a couple, you know, setup and teardowns for Tim Lyle, they didn't know shit about a fucking ring. They didn't pay their dues. The ones that were there in 2008 for Tim were still fucking backyarding. And I caught one of the motherfuckers promoting his shit at Tim's show, and I said, if I ever catch you doing that again, I'll cock you so hard you won't be able to swallow for a week. I said, because this ain't the fucking place for it.
Yep, exactly. You know, and this is the thing. I mean, you know, and as much as I love
30 minutes, Steve. We're going to keep rolling for another 30 minutes. Instead of going into the after party, we'll just continue it live.
All right.
We'll be done in 36
minutes.
There we go.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay. Because here's the thing, you know, and as much as I love technology and as much as I love the internet, because, I mean, we wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for that. What the internet has done to our business is horrible. I mean, now back when I first broke into this business, you know, you had to know somebody in order to be able to get a ring.
Well,
if you wanted,
Sean,
if you wanted a pair of boots, your trainer had to call B&H down in Arkansas.
Wow.
Yes. And they had to know your trainer before they would even take the phone call.
Well, and see, I want to get into something quickly. We're going to sidetrack.
Adrian Street wouldn't sell gear if he didn't know your trainer.
People shit on me because I didn't have legit gear. I didn't have legit gear, and this is the honest to God truth. I didn't have legit gear because 1 month to next, this promotion to that promotion, I didn't know what fucking position I was going to be thrown in. So I put some wrestling gear together until I could afford some gear, which was just a pair of pleather fucking pants that I'd taken some iron-ons and put the irons on. And I made some T-shirts, and I didn't cut the fucking T-shirts, okay? There's a picture of me that's out on the internet, and it's Rage, and it's the Iron-On T-shirt. I didn't have time to cut that son of a bitch. I was up till like 2 a.m. the day before a show, making T-shirts, printing off 8x10s, getting everything fucking ready to go with me to go down to Princeton and do this huge face turn. I didn't have the time to cut the shit off of the Iron-Ons out properly to even put on my T-shirt. I handed it to the boyfriend. I said, here, I need my shirt for tomorrow. Get it done. I want to go to bed. And it got done, and I was happy with it, and everybody shit all over me for it. But when you can't afford gear, you do what you can, okay? Not everybody can afford gear when they first start out. And getting back to what I said earlier, I wasn't booked ever originally to be a wrestler. I mean, that was the end game, but I was still training. I was just wanting to manage and get my feet wet in managing, you know, before I wrestled, so I could understand the psychology more. but I got rushed into wrestling. You know, Jonas Brothers booked me. I worked two shows for them and then started working for OSWA. So, I mean, my career really kind of took off before I think that I was even ready for it too. Because it's not that I didn't have all the training I needed. I was still getting more training. I was one of these people that believed training never ended. I would get to the building early and I'd pay to train more. I said, I want to learn more. I need to get the craft down to a T. But the thing about it is, you know, I wasn't one of these people to come in and get cocky. I got cocky one time with Beast, and Beast punched a wall so hard, I pissed my pants.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of being lippy in a locker room. That was it. Done. Because you quickly realize that the people that are in that locker room are either going to love you and accept you, or they're going to hate you. And if they hate you, it's going to be a really fucking bad working environment. And this is, I'm coming for a circle now with a lot of people have hate with me because of the last show that I had, which all that debt is going to be paid off soon. They have hate on me because I want to trash on some backyarders that have no business owning a ring, let alone stepping foot in one. And they think that, you know, I'm just one, this big hateful person and I'm bitter about the business. I'm not bitter about the business. I am bitter about the things that have happened in the business that are diminishing the business every day. So, Steve, I didn't mean to cut you off. I want you to go back in where you were.
Well, like I say, I mean, you know, this is the thing. Al, I back through the times that I started out in this business, and yes, we are talking almost 30 years ago. I understand that. But still, you had to be connected to somebody that these people knew before you could get anything in this business.
Do you know the only reason that I got trained at Wicked? The only reason? My brother. If it hadn't been for Gabe and Bean's previous, you know, friendship, I would have never been trained at Wicked. And I don't know that I would have been trained other places that I went and would have ever had a career because, you know, RCW was going to let me do the seminar, but they were very reluctant about it. They were still on the edge about it when I made the decision to train with Wicked. And it was like, well, I've been busting my ass here for you guys for almost 2 years now. You're either going to let me train or I'm going to go somewhere that is, because I'm busting my ass and I don't want to be busting my ass here for nothing. I want to work my way up that totem pole. I ain't here to be a bottom feeder the rest of my life. But if it wasn't for Talon, I would have never had training in Wicked. You know, and he didn't get me all my bookings. I did a lot of that myself as time went on, but I mean, I get to say that I've had, you know, these yarders also say, well, you didn't really have a career. You haven't followed me. I worked over in Iowa for the better part of, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. Or 2009, I went back in 2010 and 2011, I went back. I worked for Big Daddy for like 7 years, okay? So to say that I don't have a career, I worked for a fucking promotion 7 years, on and off, but I've also worked other places. I worked up in Freeport. I worked in Orland Park. I mean, I've worked so many places that I lose count. The funnest show that I ever did, I can't even say because I've been on so many different cards here, there, and everywhere, or even two different cards that they all blur together.
Tell me about that. After a quarter of a century, I mean, you know, I don't remember, you know, nowadays half the places I've been to
over the years.
The
thing about it is this. If these guys really wanted the actual training that they could have had, they would have went out and sought it 8 years ago when Tim was running there. They were doing setup for Tim, so it's not like they couldn't have trained with him then. I just don't understand.
I hear you.
For Christian Rose, who by far, in most minds, is one of the top competitors in Illinois right now that is on the independent circuit, to be doing this, my mind is still, I can't completely wrap my mind against the whole entire concept of having a guy that is a heavyweight champion of one of the top promotions, if not the top promotion in Illinois right now, training a entire roster full of backyarders.
It's sickening. It's just absolutely sickening. Like I say, you know, everything that, that I've done in this business, everything that my contemporaries have done in this business, guys like this are crapping on it. Irks me to no end. You know, I mean, you want to crap on my business, you don't have the right to even be in it.
You're going to have to repeat that. You got in and out.
I say anybody who wants, who thinks they can crap on my business, has no right being in my business.
Well, here's another thing, Crime Fighter and Steve. These guys aren't going to be taught proper locker room etiquette. They've never been in a fucking proper locker room. So that ought to be fun for them down in NSNPW. That's why I warned Too Tough Tony. That's why I warned Joseph Schwartz. That's why I tried to warn the promoter, Sam Cosby. Don't know if he's related to Bill or not. If he is, then that might be why he's got a little bit messed up in the head.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, as a professional promotion, you can't have backyarders on your show. As a legitimate promotion, you can't have your heavyweight champion going out and training an entire roster full of fucking backyarders. Especially, and I know that Jay knows this for a fact, because these motherfuckers have had instances with Dreamwave before. If you will all remember, these motherfuckers, and they denied it, but my sources told me otherwise, they were claiming that they had the Young Bucks booked.
Oh, jeez.
At one point. So, you know, these guys are going to do anything and everything to get them to that spot. And I promise you, once they get there, somebody's going to come along and knock them down. And I'm going to love seeing that. You know, it's a shame that these guys know me all too well. And I'm not currently running shows, because I'd book all five of them against fucking Beast and who else could I put in there? Congo Kong.
Right.
Welcome to the business, boys.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be seen after that.
Willie the Bomb, Willie Machine.
Give him a good old tater punch. Oh, I would love Machine.
Yep.
I would love fucking one of them to work Machine. I would give Machine the direct order. I want 10 fucking curb stomps to the back of his head to make him realize he don't belong here. And that would be a direct order.
Yep. Stretch him, bounce him. Oh, give him his initiation.
You know, Peter, be beautiful.
I send Boz in to chop him up.
Peter B. Beautiful and I don't get along, but he worked a show maybe a year ago in Wisconsin that some yarders from the Rockford Fed showed up at. And him and, oh God, I can't even remember who he said it was, somebody else with him beat the ever-loving fuck out of these yarders and threw their shit out of the locker room and told them never to come back. So
yeah,
that's what should be done with yarders. But you've got guys like Christian Rose that want to cockhold them. And, you know, this,
right.
God, I would have thought of all people with the way that this guy's career has gone that he would know better.
But then again,
he trained at IWAU, which was a break off of IWA Productions. So, you know, I don't know. I know John Bach has got a level head on his shoulders. I can say that about John Bach 24/7, 365. That man can put together a good show. He knows, you know, what goes into properly training people. And he ran a very successful operation down there in Olney, Illinois. I don't know what the fallout was, why IWA Productions broke away and then IWAU was formed. I know Crime Fighter would know more about that than what I do.
I'm not willing to rehash all that. There's quite a bit of issues. And Bach just only runs like a couple of times a year while IWOW is running weekly. It's
right.
More of a fallout between Bach and Stephen Davis than anybody else.
Right. Like I said, I didn't know all the details, but I know that for the longest time, you know, Bach had the school down there and was running every week and all of that. So I don't know what
run by Josh Totten,
yeah.
Intimidator.
Yes. I don't know what the fallout was with that, but, you know, I don't know where
Let's
I was
go
going
back
with
in time,
that.
Search the archives. I've posted various things over the, I don't know, how many years ago was that now? Five? Six?
Oh, God. Jeez. At least 2009, Crimey, because 2009 was when I opened RWF, and that was the first time that I met Rose. It was like 2010.
Yeah,
so.
At least 4 years ago, maybe. At least 5 years ago.
The thing about it, you know, the thing about it is, his career has taken off so much. He's been working around all these other people that I would have thought would have influenced him to know that this kind of thing is not acceptable. You know, it might be in some people's eyes, but in these old-timers like Steve and I, and I'm not calling myself old, I'm saying that I'm an old-timer because I was brought up old school. We don't believe in this. This is cutting around the corner trying to get in the fucking business, and it needs to be shut down and stopped. I sent a message to a promoter down in Central Illinois today and told them this whole group needs to be fucking blackballed, but nobody wants to agree with me on it. Steve and I were actually going to try to get these fucking promoters to pledge not to book these guys, at least for the foreseeable future, because these guys are not properly fully trained. You're going to put them in the ring. SMPW is here's my prediction of what's going to happen next weekend. SMPW is going to put them in the ring. They're going to see how bad both tag teams are. They're going to send somebody out, and the match is going to end like that. And then it's going to get ugly because the four, you know, wannabe wrestlers, they're going to get
I
can't even believe these words are coming out of my mouth. Lord, give me the strength.
Just relax. Just relax. Breathe, Sean. Breathe.
Woo! I don't understand why this fucking promoter did not go and look at the shit. Because if these five guys have been sending him shit to get booked, why the fuck aren't you looking at it? You know, we don't play these PSAs that Crimey recorded for us for fucking nothing, folks. It's the truth.
Right.
You can get burned really easily.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And
SMPW, I'm going to say this. The SMPW must want to have a mass transit incident on their hands because I promise you if Pondo gets a hold of one of those kids, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And here's the thing. Why is Rose training there when he could be going and lending a hand? I mean, I know it's a little bit of a further drive, but Black and Brave Wrestling Academy could use the help right now. I don't know if Shane Hollister's still active there or not. So it's not like they couldn't use the help, and at least there you're training fucking legitimate.
Yep. Exactly.
Or if he really wanted to help train people in that area, and, you know, Jay would have really hated this, but hey, Tim Lyle, Christian Rose, I'm living in the area now. I heard you've got some
right.
trainings. You want some help? Didn't do that either. Or go to Jay and say, hey, I'm down here. Find a place to fucking put the ring and I'll train people. Done.
Yeah.
Because you got him and Matt Cage both living in LaSalle. It's not like you couldn't fucking run a training camp with or a training school with those two as the head trainers and make money.
Yeah, exactly.
I just don't get why people want to have a blind eye to all of this and let it go.
Yep, exactly.
There's a wrong way and a right way to pay dues. This is the wrong way to pay dues.
Yeah.
The people want
to
let them pay dues this way, so they're going to get away with it.
It's right. Yeah, it's not even paying dues. I mean, my gosh, this is actually realistically, okay, this is worse than...
Can't hear you.
You know, I mean... I say this is worse than Tough Enough.
Damn.
You know?
Wow.
I mean,
I'm not going to touch that
there.
One.
Yeah,
I'm getting air messages.
I know, Stephen. You can't even speak. It gets you so riled up.
I mean, this isn't. Hey, I'm the Dreamwave champion. I'm gonna go train all these motherfuckers while I'm still with Dreamwave, and go make all this money. That, if anything, he should have went to fucking wrestle and said, look, I got a fucking group of guys that are willing to pay. They want to train. We can't charge them the fucking $1,500 that we were trying to charge people before when we had the first go around to students. This is what they can afford. Can we train them? But instead, he goes to their fucking back door and is getting paid by them. Not by them. Let's clarify this. He's getting paid by Jim Spraggan to train all of these guys. And here's why. And we're going to close the next 15 minutes with this. And this is what I know about Jim Spraggan. This is what I know about the people that are with the former Total Wreck and what is now called Safe Haven Ministries.
Yeah.
RWF was slated to run the Total Wreck in May of 2011. Was going to be our first show. The main event was going to be Eric Freedom against Cowboy Bob Orton to bring the old Powerhouse fans back to the area. Because at this point, mm-hmm. Powerhouse was not running.
Yep.
Jim Spraggan persuaded the board that they could get a wrestling organization that they didn't have to pay. You see where I'm going with this, Steve?
Oh, I know exactly where you're going with this. Because remember, it was you and I that had the long phone calls going through this back and forth.
Because the Total Care, and Crimey, you probably remember, I don't know if you were on CPW back then or not, but... We had the conversation with the Total Wreck that we needed to we were going to do the show in May. Then they, I sent them the budget on what it was going to be and what the finances were going to be for it. They sent it back and they wanted a reduction. So I sent it back and I got this whole entire card booked for under $1,000, right around $1,000. I said, this is it. Let's do it. There's going to be a benefit for them to keep that place open. They didn't want to sign the written contract. I faxed them a written contract for the final negotiation because we'd already, you know, we made the agreement. We were going to put the information out about the show. We put the information out there, started to sell tickets, and they didn't want to put their name on the dotted line for the contract. So Steve and I said, well, okay, we'll let them not do this show. The next show we had Tommy Dreamer booked. So I said, okay, this is going to be the budget for the next show. This is as low as I can get it. I need the fucking contract to me today.
Yep.
Didn't get anything.
I set a hard and fast deadline, and they didn't follow through with it.
So what I'm getting at now is Jim Spraggan wanted wrestling that he didn't have to pay for, or at least pay for on the grand scale of things as we were looking to do it. Because I told them, I said, we can do this one of two ways. We can come in and have this be an absolute shit fest, or we can come in and actually have this mean something that's going to grab people's attention and make you guys some fucking money.
Yep.
And Jim Spraggan and the rest of them decided that they weren't going to do it. I got in a lot of heat for that because, you know, that was like the second or third time we had canceled shows. But that was all their fault. That was out of my hands. You know, they said, we want wrestling. I said, I'll come down. I'll do it. This is what has to happen. These are the contracts. They didn't want to sign the contracts. Now, some people will say, well, you put all the information out there before the contract was signed. I didn't have a choice. I had, at this point, we were in, like, mid-April, and the show was slated to be May 21st. So I had to get tickets out there. I had to get sponsorship money going. I had to let people know what their main event was going to be for that night. And Jim Spraggan fucked that all up with all the rest of the people there. And I'm sure the people at Revolution Wrestling who had a hand in that fucking place had a hand in it too. And that's probably where they began to persuade Jim Spraggan that, oh, we can get a ring and we'll be fine. You know? So, the moral of the subject in all of this is Christian Rose has no business training a bunch of yarders. The bunch of yarders have no business going around until their training is done, asking for bookings.
Yep.
And that's my closing statement. I don't know if anybody's got anything else. I got to give my voice a rest, or I'm not going to have anything left for tomorrow.
No, I think you have hit it right on the head, Sean. You know, and I think that's all that needs to be said, honestly.
And I will say this to wrap things up. If we find out Dreamwave knew about this all along, believe me, there will be a rising on Dreamwave because...
Yes, they will be put on blast as well.
This is... If they know about it, they're idiots to allow it to happen. So, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, we got like 9 minutes left. I'd like to thank everybody for coming out and joining us for this special edition. Don't forget to join us tomorrow night with an evening with Les Thatcher. That'll start at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, right back here on the 2D Sports Radio Network. Want to invite everybody Monday night as well at 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central Standard Time, right back here on the 2D Sports Radio Network. It is the Rampage Rants Monday Night Mayhem. So I am Sadistic Sean David saying I'm going to give my voice a rest so I have something left for tomorrow, along with my co-host,
the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane. And with this, we say thank you for tuning in. And good night.
Good night.
closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Closing time. One last call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning.